Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But the schedule's pretty challenging.
Because they do have Ohio State.
They have Ohio State and Oregon, both at home, but they also have to go to Michigan. So they get three of the four big boys. The only one they don't play is Penn State, and they play Illinois.
All right, what about people who are looking at Iowa? All right, I mean, Iowa's got...
Look, I'll just say this real quickly. If Mark Gronowski can hit, and the proof would say he can as an FCS superstar, then yeah, they've got a chance. They play Oregon at home. They don't play Ohio State. They don't play Michigan, but they do play Penn State, but they get Penn State at home as well. So you're getting Penn State and Oregon both at home, Indiana at home. I mean, the schedule shapes up where you only have four road games in conference, and it's Rutgers, Wisconsin, USC, which could be certainly a challenge, and then the rivalry game against Nebraska.
Because my thing is, I kind of think it's going to be a Big Ten team because I think the way the schedules have worked out, that's the way, like, that's kind of where I'm looking.
But no one has, at least I haven't seen it, no one's got a full-on Indiana from last year, which was they avoided everybody but Ohio State. Did they beat? Oh, but no, they beat Michigan.
Yeah, I remember it was a very... They struggled to beat Michigan, but yeah.
They were up, and then I think they let it slip through their fingertips a little bit.
Yeah.
So, based off the odds, here you go. All 9-1 to make the playoff. Iowa, Washington, Nebraska. All are 9-1. By the way, full disclosure, Memphis's odds are shorter than Iowa, Washington, and Nebraska to make the playoff.
I thought they were 18-1.
Memphis is 8-1 to make the playoff.
Okay. There they go. The only thing, though, is the way you're talking, do you think this is going to be chalky then?
What, the Big Ten?
Just in general, the playoff. So if we say it in these terms of, okay, we're holding a who the hell knows in the Big 12, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But it feels to me like you think that Indiana might have been a one-off. The Indiana type might be
a
one-off.
I don't know because I just think you got to find that schedule. Because 2 years ago, Louisville had that schedule too, and they made it to the conference championship game and lost to the unbeaten Florida State team without Jordan Travis. So
One of the grossest games I've ever watched.
Disgusting. What we got to do is we have to find that schedule that is out there that is conducive to, hey, they went 11-1. SMU a year ago lost to Clemson, but they're 11-1. They should get into the playoff. Missouri's got a sneaky kind of...
Missouri has the same schedule they did last year.
But they have Bo Prabula at quarterback and not Brady Cook.
I mean, I'm at the point with Drinkwitz where I kind of trust him. He kind of gets, I mean, he got some pretty good production out of Connor Bazelak, who's decidedly average.
I think you got to look. So, once again, I think we agree that the Big 12 is the shrug your shoulders, who knows what's going to happen.
Right,
so,
we're just leaving a seat for whoever winds up.
And that's where you could get a 9 or 10 to 1 on somebody, right? Somewhere a long shot. Can we find anyone out of the ACC that would make it? You know, Miami's not a surprise. Clemson obviously is favored. Like, what about, I don't know, what about a Georgia Tech?
Well, I was thinking, what about Louisville?
So, real quickly on Georgia Tech, and this was a good point my buddy brought up. They lost Tyler Santucci, their D coordinator, and I think that's going to be a pretty big loss.
All right. What about Louisville? Here we go.
Okay.
Eastern Kentucky, JMU, Bowling Green to start with a bye week in between weeks 2 and 3. At Pitt, Virginia, at Miami, BC, at Vatech, Cal, Clemson, so you'd have to split. At SMU.
I mean, I've got Miller Moss stock. I like Miller Moss. You know, playing JMU on a Friday night at home won't be easy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard, but also what's kind of funny noting,
I will say that Friday night game at Miami, that's a Friday night game at Miami. Weren't underdogs on Friday nights, just like not like they were beyond barking.
Well, and that was Virginia Tech should have beat them on that Hail Mary.
That also feels like a nice spot. That feels like a nice spot for, it's after a bye week, Florida State. It's weird. Both teams will be coming off a bye. Is there anyone in the SEC that you would want?
I mentioned Missouri from a schedule standpoint. Not Arkansas. What about Auburn? I'm looking at their schedule. At Oklahoma, at Texas A&M in September. That's not easy. And Georgia and Bama.
Now, this is the year that they get Georgia and Bama at home.
Correct. They get Missouri at home. They play Kentucky. No,
the problem with Auburn is Freeze every single year is going to lose one game he's not supposed to.
Now, you're allowed to do that in the SEC.
Kind of.
You can't lose two of them. But Alabama gets in with one loss.
I agree, but if they lose to Auburn and Georgia, and then you throw
Alabama
in...
Alabama and Georgia.
I'm sorry, if they lose to Alabama and Georgia, and one of those other ones is Diego gets them again.
Well, the problem is I also think they lose week one to Baylor.
I'm a little worried that's a little trendy.
Maybe.
I can tell you which roster is going to be better funded.
And I'll say this, Baylor got absolutely obliterated in their bowl game, and they looked not athletic.
Yeah.
So that I could see that.
I think the gap between the Big 12 and the SEC is pretty wide. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. We've also got some NBA draft to get into. We'll do all that coming up during hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The NBA draft first round is tomorrow night. You can hear it right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Tim and I will sort through the preview during the next segment. Before we do that, let's get into the list. The Pac-12. All right, Tim, I know you've been curious about whether or not Memphis would entertain the possibility of, we've seen reports, or I guess as we've seen Pete Thamel write about, I guess, educated conjecture about Memphis's future. Would they perhaps go to the pack for football only and then explore being in the Big East and all other sports? I think that is something that the fan base in general would probably root for. I think now they're at the point where they're just so unhappy where they are. It's like anything's better than what we have. But I was curious to know, we saw the deal that the Pac-12 and everyone that's affiliated with CBS, shout out Cobb, was really promoting the Pac-12 to CBS deal. But man, when you actually look at the deal, I don't know if that's going to be financially feasible for Memphis, because it's now just going to be three football games on CBS. I'm always worried when all of a sudden after a deal gets announced, well, you know, Apple's looking at bidding in on the rest of the rights and whatnot. It's like, oh boy, they don't remember this. We've heard this one before. I'm not sure that this is financially going to be an option.
Yeah, the more I read about it, and you would be more familiar with it than I would. Memphis made, is it $11 million?
$11 million.
Okay.
Part of that was also, if you looked at it, the American was boosted up by the fact SMU paid the $25 million exit fee.
Okay.
So that was split amongst the teams. That's what put them over the top. But it still seems obvious to me, everyone that I speak to that is informed says, at least through the first deal, the American will every year pay more than the Pac will. Now, when you cut it up with going to the Big East, but the Big East is trying to redo their TV deal, and I don't know. I mean, when you're just offering basketball inventory, it's always going to be about 70% less. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, and I think, too, while in a vacuum, I think it would be better, and I think the fans would enjoy it more. I would enjoy it more for them to be Pac-12 for football, Big East for basketball, and everything else.
Yes.
Financially speaking, it doesn't make any sense. And that's what the AD said on your network last year, right?
Yes.
Which was the $25 million buyout and getting, what, 2.5 from the Pac-12?
Like, correct.
Fiscally, that doesn't make any sense. Texas State's buyout is going to be $5 million. To get out of the Sun Belt, as long as they do it within this week, and they're going to do it this week. So, yeah, I don't know. I would prefer it. I think it would be great to see Memphis in the Big East, but the AD said, correct me if I'm wrong, we want to go Power Four. And this essentially...
They do. I think the other thing is...
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, I would love it to see them playing Marquette and UConn and all of these big brands in college basketball, Creighton, etc. But it just, from a financial standpoint, especially if your goal is to go Power Four, it doesn't make any sense.
I think the only way it happens is if we get to 27, 28 and people start moving the chessboard and it looks like at that point, now that the Big 12's at 16, maybe they'll try to do strength in numbers, but my whole deal is, like, I just tell Memphis people, like, if the Big 12 is going to take you, you'd be in there by now. They've had every opportunity, so I'm just kind of, I'm letting that one be. The question is, what happens to the rest of the ACC? Because if they lose...
Nothing until 2030, right?
Right, but most people are suspecting that the movement will start in 28 for the announcement of the 30 seasons.
So here's my question. Okay, let's play hypothetical here.
All right.
Florida State, Clemson, Miami, North Carolina, all leave. Is that still a Power Four conference? In name, I guess.
Okay, but let's play this out.
I'm not saying that Memphis would be... I'd still, even with those four big boys leaving, I would still rather be in the ACC than the AAC. But is it the same...
Well, the question, though, for me is, okay, what if those four leave, and then what if Virginia? Let's say...
Does Duke stay?
Let's say some politics get involved, and let's say, like, Virginia Tech, Duke, and NC State all find new homes. Now I think you can dissolve the league.
Yeah, that makes things, I mean.
Because then, now obviously those people are going to need homes. And so, like, that becomes the question of, like, does the Big East, like, say, okay, we're really going back to being the Big East and we're going to have football members and then non-football members? Because then, like, okay, you could really, like, get the Big East band back together. Like, you could have Louisville, West Virginia, Pitt. You know, Memphis would get involved in that one. BC, Syracuse. What would we say? You have to have you have to have, is it nine to be a league?
Eight football members.
I mean, maybe, but I'd be curious to know, like, what's the AC, what's the Big East appetite to do that? And I mean, maybe the Big East is, if their TV negotiations don't go well, they're like, well, what if we add some football? I do think that's a more desirable home than the splitting of going to the Pac, just because even though it's clearly better games than what you have right now in football, like, that's still murderous travel.
Yeah, I just don't think it's,
because you get
because of the finances and the buyouts, it's just not, it's not financially responsible, and it's not, it does, I guess the question is this: if you join the Pac-12, does your chances to make the playoff increase? Maybe a little, but
I think you would wind up in that benefit of the doubt, because if you leave the AAC, and presumably they're not leaving alone, presumably Tulane's going with them, there's not much difference between the AAC and, like, the Sun Belt.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if Tulane leaves, you know, you got Army and Navy who are right now up, but that they're kind of fickle. They can go up and down.
They always feel very quarterback dependent.
Right, and it feels like this year Navy's going to be good, but 2 years ago Navy stunk.
Yeah,
because they didn't have a quarterback, right? So, or their quarterback got hurt. And we'll see about Army. Army obviously won the conference a year ago, but yeah, I mean, what I'm curious about with the Pac-12, if they're still going to go by that moniker. I mean, I like it from a basketball standpoint. I would like to see a little bit more. Like, I thought the
I think it was also damning when they couldn't just go cherry pick everyone from the Mountain West that they wanted. I thought that was a little damning.
Yeah, that not getting UNLV, I thought was a big loss. And you know, maybe UNLV's kind of like Memphis. Maybe they've got their sights set on the Big 12 or something like that. You know.
Well, and then I think it also helped when UNLV, like Mountain West, cut the deal with them.
Yeah, they cut the deal with them and Air Force to give them more money. And I'll say this, once again, it's not great, but what did they do? They went out and they poached Northern Illinois, and they poached Grand Canyon, and UTEP kind of stinks, but it's, you know, it's, at least they got a cool stadium. I don't know. I mean, you know, I feel like the Mountain West, you lose Boise, that's huge. But overall, I don't know. I didn't think the Mountain West ended up. I thought the Mountain West was just going to get absolutely squashed.
I thought they were just going to be decimated.
And the fact that they kept a UNLV, which is a big brand and a big stadium, it's weird to me that the Pac-12 is not going to have any footprint in Las Vegas when that was kind of like their hub city for forever.
Well, I mean, I think it shows, like, they did not have a great plan, man.
They had a plan to go get Boise and San Diego State, and it felt like their initial plan hit. They got Gonzaga, but then, like, I think they just assumed UNLV would come, Air Force would come, and it's like, nah. I don't know if they expected a pushback from the Mountain West.
Yeah, and I think when all those schools said, you know, what are you going to be offering us? And the money was like, well, no, that's our – when Oregon State and Washington State were like, well, no, that's our money. Here we are. NFL collusion. All right, how into this story have you been?
Is this the Pablo Torre?
Yeah, and Floria, the dynamic duo that nobody saw coming. Although maybe we should have, because Florio – had Pablo on during the Belichick stuff, and you could tell there was some rapport. But I thought this was, I think what I found interesting was, number one, am I stunned to read or to find out and listen that the NFL colluded on guaranteed contracts? Yeah, no. We saw one person get it, and it never happened again. You think that they just came to the conclusion independently? Like, yeah. What I'm a little bit surprised by is, like, when you get to some of the details, I don't understand how the arbitrator didn't go more strongly, because one of the quotes that Florio had was, okay, regarding the 2022 negotiations that culminated in a second contract for quarterback Kyler Murray, the ruling contains a text message exchange that directly contradicts system arbitrator Christopher Droney's conclusion that the league's encouragement to collude didn't take. Here was the exchange from Dean Spanos, the owner of the Chargers, to the Cardinals owner, Michael Bidwell. Spanos, congratulations on signing Murray. Bidwell, thanks, Dino. These QB deals are expensive, but we limited the fully guaranteed money and have some pretty good language. Thankfully, we have a QB that's worth paying. This is the most Dean Spanos thing of all time. Quote, your deal helps us for our QB next year. I think many teams will be happy with it once they have a chance to review. Cleveland really screwed things up, but I was resolved to keep the guaranteed money relatively low. How is that not... like, how do you conclude that, like, yeah, that was... I guess because what they're saying is they don't have the minutes from the meeting at the owners' meeting when they said, we're not doing guaranteed contracts ever again? Like, how is that not... shouldn't that be like a smoking gun?
Yeah.
Florio continues, as evidence of collusion coordination among supposedly competing businesses goes, the gun doesn't get much smokier than that. If the Chargers and Cardinals and the other 30 franchises are truly in competition, why would they coordinate? Why would they care? Does the board chairman at Coke call all the board chairmen at Pepsi when Pepsi hires a CEO whose compensation package reverses a potential trend regarding CEO pay? I think the difference would be they're publicly traded companies, but continue, King, you're cooking. That's exactly what happened with Spanos and Bidwell. I think the whole thing, though, for me is... like, I'm not trying to crap on Florio and Pablo's quote-unquote reporting, but isn't the bigger story is, like, they kind of proved collusion and nothing matters, right?
Right.
Like, is anything changing from this?
No, I don't think so.
That's why it's good to be an NFL owner. All right, lastly, Aaron Rodgers. So I watched more of McAfee today than I care to admit with Rodgers. When did he, like set aside the COVID, the immunity, like, he's gone from, like, mercurial and difficult to, like, I just find him insufferable now.
You're welcome.
He did like a monologue. Like, McAfee was, like, kind of trying to congratulate him on getting married and said, like, hey, you know, if there's a reception, we'd like to go. And then literally Rodgers just did 5 minutes talking into a microphone about invasion of privacy.
The Jets do this to people.
Is he actually married?
Yeah, I believe he referred to her as his wife. He said, I got married a couple of months ago when he was wearing the ring. Like, my whole thing is, where's your privacy been invaded? I guess he got mad that some people took pictures of him in Malibu, but no one's, to my knowledge, no one's uncovered his wife.
Also, I don't know, it comes with the territory.
He did the, well, then he tried to hide behind the, I'm a public figure, but she's not, to which I would point out, Aaron, that's what's happening here. Like, no one's gone after her. Like,
also, he had the quote that said, when it's all done, you won't see me. I won't be in the public. I don't want to live a public life.
I'll take that bet.
Yeah. Dude, you wanted desperately to be the host of Jeopardy.
Like, on top of that, like,
didn't you do a Netflix documentary?
Well, he did the Jets Hard Knocks.
Well, was it? I never watched.
Oh, yeah, you're
the
right.
Enigma
Roger,
one.
Yeah,
wasn't he part of that?
We got to use air quotes on documentary.
Right.
That gets thrown around. Also, are we excited about quarterback? We got the trailer yesterday for quarterback. It's Goff,
Burrow, Cousins
again. I mean, the Cousins ones could... I did find myself.
I think the Cousins ones would be interesting because he got
right.
hurt and or he's coming back from injury and he got benched.
I also found Cousins on the first one. I thought he was one of the more compelling guys.
I thought he was great. I thought his Q rating went very high.
Yeah, no, I actually got angry after this. Like, do I like Kirk Cousins now?
All coming into Kirkland, baby. I've had Kirk stock forever. This is Washington days. Now,
is he going to be Cleveland's quarterback?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think he's really just going to, they're going to ride it out with him on the bench?
It's pretty dumb, but no, someone's going to get hurt.
And then that's who picks him up. Yeah. That's who makes the deal.
It's actually, I'll say this, like it was a dumb, I mean, I don't know. At this point, was the decision to draft Michael Penix, is that actually been validated? Like, that wasn't a terrible decision?
I'm in the camp of, I didn't think it was that dumb in real time. Now, what you could argue was dumb was giving Kirk all the money coming off the Achilles. But what if the draft goes a certain way and you don't get Penix?
To me, it was just, if you're going all in, now, he wasn't healthy, and it was the right decision because Penix is now, you're not in a dark hole without a quarterback. But to me, what was so dumbfounding was they drafted him, or they drafted Penix after giving Kirk, what, $100 million guaranteed or whatever it was, and your defense sucked. And you like you desperately needed edge rushers, and you were like, nah, we're just going to take quarterback. But hey, it might work out.
I do kind of like the idea of if you got a chance. I mean, this is what the Packers always did, and it's why they were never in quarterback purgatory.
I know.
Like I don't actually hate what they did. All right, let's take a quick break. Speaking of drafts, we got the NBA draft coming up tomorrow. Let's talk about it. Tim's got some gambling nuggets as well as we'll George and I will try to figure out who we actually do believe in. I don't even know what I'm rooting for at this point. We'll talk through it next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
ESPN. All right, Tim. It seems pretty obvious at this point. Is it fair to say tomorrow night's NBA draft that you can hear right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN, 6:30, it starts at number 3? It feels like 1 and 2 are pretty locked.
Yeah, I think it's definitely fair to say. I have not seen anybody out there really push back on Dylan Harper not landing with the San Antonio Spurs at number 2, and that goes obviously with the obvious, which is Cooper Flagg will be the number 1 overall pick with the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah, I believe it starts at 3, and that's Philadelphia, and what do they decide to do with that third pick?
If they take Edgecombe, does that tell us anything?
You know, we were doing a segment last night on my show on VSiN, and And I'm sure there are some folks out there be like, man, why couldn't the Memphis Grizzlies be in the Eastern Conference? Because
believe me, that's we are east of the Mississippi too, as we like to point out.
Because like my co-host last night was like, should we be buying stock on Philadelphia? And my initial reaction was like, ugh, no. But then it's like, well, when you're talking about betting, and I know not everything revolves around betting, but when you're talking about betting and you're looking at the Philadelphia 76ers, who are right now 12-1 to win the East, you've got a roster with Joel Embiid, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey,
McLean,
the Jared McCain,
who is
going to be the rookie of the year before he got hurt.
Yep.
And now the third overall pick. That's a pretty damn good roster in a conference where we're like, who's good? Now, Cleveland obviously won 60 games a year ago, and maybe we're overthinking it, and Cleveland's just going to be best team. Or the Knicks obviously had a strong year last year going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Still don't have a coach.
Obviously, Orlando made the big trade with the Grizz to get Desmond Bane. But yeah, I just think the East is wildly fascinating. And, you know, for a team like Philadelphia, do they just say, screw it, we're going to take Ace Bailey because he's the best player out there? That's possible.
Do we have any concern that Rutgers was stunk? Like, I know they lost a bunch of close games, but like,
it is weird that,
and I know
Steve
they
Peichel,
missed,
who is a good coach,
yeah,
they were bad.
And like, I get it, both guys missed time, but like, how is this any different than Markelle Fultz?
Well, I don't know.
No, I think there was another lottery guy on that team.
Was there? Yeah, when you look back at their year, they did beat Illinois. They, you know, had some close games. Like, they lost...
I think they lost on two buzzer beaters, right? They lost to, I think, Michigan. Did they lose to Michigan and Michigan State on buzzer beaters?
They lost to Michigan on a buzzer beater. I remember that. And I don't remember what happened in the Michigan State game.
Wasn't there a Northwestern game in there, too, maybe?
That was... there was like a stretch in the Big Ten where like every game ended on a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Maryland won on a game on a buzzer beater. So,
Michigan State, I think that was Maryland. Because I think SVP was
they
in
lost,
the crowd.
Yeah. They lost like on a 70-footer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it feels like VJ Edgecombe is going to be it, but I wouldn't be surprised if, who is it, Hinkie? Is he still, no, he's gone, right? Who's the GM in Philly now?
Isn't it Daryl?
Daryl Morey, excuse me, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he's just like, whatever, we're going to take best player available.
Okay, so this is the real question. George, would you agree with this, that I feel like a lot of group chats have become said heads? It feels like everyone's all in on Cedric. Cedric Howard.
My D3 brother.
Your D3 brother. Also, I know Washington State was in like the weird, they kind of played the WCC.
Well, he only played six games this past year because he got hurt.
I don't remember a guy having this much momentum in the NBA draft in a long time.
It feels like he's got some juice. I think the biggest thing, especially for the spot the Grizzlies are at, if they don't trade it, you kind of have to just see how the board falls, because there's a lot of guys in that middle of the first round range that I kind of like, I could be in on.
Because, see, this is the weird thing, Tim.
Also, by the way, just a quick side note. Is the Grizzlies pick going to wear a Magic hat, or is that official?
Official.
Okay.
Yeah, because that one's
been announced.
Because the Houston one is not. So the 10th overall
Correct.
Pick is owned by Phoenix, but it's technically Houston, which originally started
and
as Phoenix.
And whoever the Wizards take with the Grizzlies pick at 16 will wear a Wizards hat, because it's official.
Okay. Yep. That's 18. Okay, so yeah.
Okay, so here's the weird spot that everyone's in locally. The fan base is very much out on getting younger. But there's this weird reality of your best chance probably to get the best player is still probably this draft. So everyone's kind of in this weird, like, what do you root for thing here? Because they have, it seems to me, they have three realistic options. One, I guess you could say four. One, they trade up. And I don't know realistically how far you can get up because it. I feel like in the lottery, like
10, 11.
You think you think 10 or 11 is the ceiling.
That's the max to me.
Okay, and it feels like if they did that, they would probably be going after Carter, the Baylor kid.
Mm.
Or, I'm sorry, Arizona kid.
Bryant.
Carter Bryant.
Carter, yep. Bryant, yes. So they can do that. I think people would be okay with that. It feels like they could stay at 16 because you can't make a move. And... or they could trade back and try to dump Conchar's salary. Or they package 16 and maybe another pick for the example that's commonly been given is a PJ Washington type. So PJ probably makes you better next year. It's not a long-term solution. But I also think it's fair to say PJ is probably not as good as Desmond Bane was. But at least... in terms of what you have right now, it makes you better next year. It still feels like your best chance, though, to hit the best player is actually making a pick this draft. But everyone is such in a, like, they're just sick of getting younger and younger and younger and watching more and more mistakes that everyone feels like that they've just decided they're out on it. So I don't know what it would end up actually being popular. George, do you think that that is a fair characterization?
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. My only potential little bit of pushback would be like if they were able to package this with something to get PJ Washington, I actually think that's a really solid move. I really like what he did has done in Dallas. He's been proven in the playoffs. He played really well during their run. He fits the timeline. He's only 26. Good size, good length. He's not a bad defender by any means.
And to be clear, it's unclear whether or not PJ is available.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
Is in that instance, and you and I have talked about this a lot, when it comes to, okay, the Grizzlies need to make a move, the question is always, name the player.
Right.
Who? If that's actually the rumor, sure, I'm all about that. But if it's that type of player, that style of player as a PJ Washington, it very well could be a player that I'm like, eh, I don't know. I mostly think they end up probably staying at 16. If they trade up, at least that shows a little bit of life. Show some aggression, you know,
yeah.
That the front office is like, okay, we have identified our guy. We're going to go get him.
Yeah, but then you're aggressively getting younger.
I mean, yeah, but that is kind of the pitfall they've... I mean, it's that one quote. It's the unintentionally gotten younger quote, mm-hmm. coming back to bite. But I like Carter Bryant. I think he'd be a good pickup. Colin Murray Boyles has been... his name has been thrown around. Cedric Howard's been thrown around. If a guy like Ason Newell's in that range, too, I like his athleticism.
Well, and then there's this weird thing at 16 where the value's probably centers, Tim. And it's like, are you going to pick two centers back-to-back?
Grizzlies kind of need one.
But they need one for their 35 games, probably.
I mean, personally, I would draft Thomas Sorber out of Georgetown because I made a bet today on his under 17.5 draft stock. What about Noah Essengay, huh?
All right, so for those
committed,
that don't know...
Committed to his team, baby.
He's in the Bundesliga final.
Up 2-1.
Again, this isn't the FIBA, whatever their World Cup. Like this, it's just the German League.
It's just the AAC championship game.
Yeah. That's kind of what it is. Like, I don't know, like... he's leaving.
After
but you're a believer of this is quitting on your team.
Yeah.
Did he go through the combine and all that?
No.
I would think not.
He didn't do
right?
He didn't do any of it because he was playing. And now
not anymore.
He didn't do any of this and he's like, "Nah, I'm out."
Mm.
Well, but I mean, you can't get robbed of the walking across the storied Barclays Center to get your hat.
What if PJ Haggerty, who we knew was probably going to leave in the AAC championship, was like, "Ah, I'm good. I got to go visit Kansas State."
I mean, I'm kind of waiting for that to happen. I'm not saying PJ Washer are happening to Memphis, but like I mean, we did just see Bo Pabula leave before a playoff game.
Yeah.
He wasn't starting.
He was like, the backup, and I kind of felt bad for him.
No, I think he was in a terrible spot.
Well, because Franklin was being a you-know-what.
No, he's a dick. Yeah, but that's what he is.
Because he could have said, you can stay on the roster and be our... He wanted to stay and be the backup, but he had to transfer because he wasn't going to start next year. And he wouldn't let him stick around. Also, James Franklin is like losing every recruiting battle with Notre Dame right now. It is hilarious. Penn State fans are losing their minds.
He tried to cover up rape at Vanderbilt, and then he has another. Like, it's just ugh, and he's so self-righteous. Ugh.
Meet Clifford? You get a Mountain West guy. That would be
No. He looks too much like Roddy.
If you don't want to get young, draft Meet Clifford.
Sorry. But I mean, isn't that the Cedric Coward thing?
Cedric Coward's 21, I think, right? Yeah. Neek Clifford's 23.
I mean, it's Roddy all over again.
Well, he's a guard. Well, Roddy kind of, I guess, just an undersized power forward.
George, what are you rooting for?
I'm going to say I'm going to root for a pick only because no one has actually presented me with X player. Other than that, I don't think trading up gets you that much more value, and trading down just to get off JD's contract kind of feels maybe a little wasteful.
Is Walter Clayton going to be this year's like Shabazz Napier?
Or McCain?
Yeah, where it's like...
Maybe.
Are we overthinking this and just draft a really, really productive college kid? Yes, he's old, but he was awesome. National champ.
The only thing I worry
It sounds like the floor for him is Miami. It sounds like he's worked out a bunch for Miami, and that's where he would ultimately go.
I mean, he does feel like a Heat guy.
Heat culture, baby.
I will say, Jeffrey, if they decide to trade down, the only way I'm looking at that as an absolute still win is if they trade down and get a guy like Adu Thiro. I just like the fit. They need that type
I've
of
already
athlete.
Realized. I'm going to talk myself into Liam.
McNeely?
Yeah.
I could see that.
I don't hate Rangy.
I think, who was I listening
good
to?
Three-point
I was listening, I think, to Russillo, and his analysis on the draft's pretty good, and he feels like the three-point shooting numbers this year aren't indicative of how good of a shooter he can be.
No, the problem that UConn had was Mahaney can't play.
That is correct.
And
that's why he's at UC Santa Barbara.
Correct. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go to Josh Kroenke, of course, Stan's son that I guess is allowed to run the Nuggets. Speaking today, said, quote, "I think for us as an organization, going into that second apron is not something that we're scared of. I think that there are rules around it that we need to be careful of with our injury history. The wrong person gets injured, and very quickly you're into a scenario that I never want to have to contemplate, and that's trading number 15. And so we're very conscious of that pushing forward and providing the resources that we can when the moment arrives. But the second apron, is it a hard cap? I'm not 100% sure, but it's something that teams are obviously very aware of going forward. Not scared of the second apron and then presents a disaster scenario where he's trading Jokic."
Have fun, Denver.
How are these people so bad at speaking? It blows me away. All right, my man, we'll talk to you again later this week.
All right, see you, dude.
That is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, about on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered.
Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.